Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe, sitting here with Venerable Tom Dorian.
Yes, sir.
And so, Tom, we're without Sam again. He is like a good Sam Ayrton.
Do you think he's pushing the car down the road?
I think so. He's got a friend who's got a bad car. He missed last show. He's missing this show.
It's the car that won't heal.
I guess not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it needs some kind of, you know, exorcism or something. I don't know. But you know,
or trade-in.
Yeah, or trade-in. Either one of those. So our last show, we talked about just the concept of parenting,
mm-hmm.
And that children are the natural fruit. Yeah, yes, a natural fruit of marriage. So it's a beautiful thing. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of people, especially when I'm doing marriage prep, they really haven't thought about that. The couple's really not thinking about how to raise kids.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some things it's good for them to know, I think, ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And not just things like you need to plan, you know, you need to start putting money aside and just decide what kind of college, you know, you don't, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Financial planning is a good thing. I'm not saying it's not, but you need to think about all those things like insurance and all that. Of course you do. But it's like how to raise a kid in this day and age. Because
mm-hmm.
I have to admit, you know, you look around and you go like, man, there's some knuckleheads out here who maybe just, and I'm saying that. Like, it's a mean word, I guess, but the reality is I think there's not a lot of knowledge being passed around.
Mm-hmm.
And seems like some of the knowledge that's been passed down has been disregarded
mm-hmm.
or seen as archaic or whatever. So a lot of traditional stuff kind of goes out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got these younger parents who are parenting based on TikTok or some other kind of social media experiment, you know. And they don't see it that way. And I want to be respectful about that. But the reality is, you know, there are some basic fundamental, like, wisdoms, you know, about parenting that can be passed on, I think, that are good. And I know with you with five kids,
mm-hmm.
me with nine, there are 14 reasons why we would be able to help somebody,
mm-hmm.
giving them a few ideas about parenting.
Yeah, just a couple.
So I do want to talk about one of them we've already talked about. We kind of talked about it in the last show where we talked about kids are going to grow up and do what you do.
Right.
Right? But essentially, kids will follow your model, not what you say, but what you do. And that's really important to understand
mm-hmm.
because they learn not just through their ears. You can tell them things, and how many times, Tom, have you ever talked to one of your kids, and like, you're not listening to me, are you?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Even so, now.
Yeah.
It's probably worse now.
Yeah, maybe. you know, it might be earwax, I don't know.
Yeah.
But also, there's just a, you know, hearing things is not always enough. They experiential learners, right? They need to touch, feel, see, walk the walk. They need to see you and see it modeled,
mm-hmm.
and that's how they learn the majority of what they learn. It's funny when you see people. I knew a young man that was adopted, and his dad was a voiceover artist in the video business.
Really?
Right? And y'all would know the kid because he was on Saturday Night Live for a little bit. But and so this kid who was adopted sounds exactly like his dad did.
Oh, wow.
I mean, his voice, the characteristics, but they're not physically connected,
mm-hmm.
right? But, like, he learned from the way the cadence, the way his dad talked. And you've seen parents mm-hmm. with kids, how their kids, like, some guys walking along like a lumberjack, you know, kind of lumbering down the road, and then all of a sudden there's these kids walking behind him, lumbering behind him.
Yeah.
They learn their gait from him, you know? And so all these things that we do as parents, our kids learn from us,
mm-hmm.
and we don't even realize we're teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do realize you're teaching them, it gives you an advantage in helping build that domestic church. So remember that everything that you do and your kids are within earshot or eyeshot or they're just, you know what, nearby, mm-hmm. anywhere within the vicinity, they're gonna pick up on what you're doing, and they're gonna see the truth for what it is, not what you say it is. So we got to be mindful of being able to do that. Now, I've had people like when I have tell them I have 9 kids, they're like, "How do you handle 9 kids?" I've got 2, and they are just a terror. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard that?
Oh yeah.
You know, what do you tell them?
You know what's funny for us when we got to 3. So 3 was huge. That jump to 3 was overwhelming.
Now they outnumbered you.
Oh yeah, it's really really overwhelming. But what was interesting for us is about once we got to 3, it was easy. Like 4 was 3, 5 was 3, 6 was 3, whatever.
I got you.
It just felt like 3.
Well, that's also part of that. It's just one more.
Yeah, exactly.
You're already
exactly.
here. Just one yeah. more. What's one more? Just put another more.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you got 37 kids. Like,
just keep going.
Wow, one more.
Just keep going.
Yeah. Now, so
and the sound is beautiful, by the way.
The cacophony.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I do.
It.
I like that.
I just sit back and take it in.
So
I used to
travel a lot as a younger man for my work, and I'll be honest with you, because when we had 7, 8, 9 kids at home, it was noisy, and so I would go and I'd fly off somewhere and stay in a hotel, and that first night, man, it was kind of nice.
It is nice.
It was quiet. I didn't have to.
But,
I watched.
But you end up missing it.
Oh man,
very quickly.
Yeah, within 24 hours, I'm going like, yeah, I'm ready to go back. I want the kids. I want the noise.
Yeah.
I feel at home like that.
And I don't know if you've had this experience as well, but if you take one kid out of that cacophony, the whole thing changes.
It changes the dynamic.
It's a huge change.
It tells you that they're all individuals.
Yeah.
Right? They all have different charisms, gifts. And that's a cool thing too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you have that, when you have the kids there, mm-hmm. right, and especially when you have a lot of kids, and people say to me, like, how do you handle 9 kids? I can't handle the 2 that I have. I tell them something that sounds like I'm being disrespectful, but I'm not. It's a reality. And what I tell them is like, you know what? Kids will do exactly what you allow them to do. Mm-hmm. So often we forget that we're the ones in charge. I mean, I'm just, the reality is we forget that. And
well,
we start.
Society's kind of making us forget that.
Well, maybe sometimes, but also I think that like sometimes we start to let the inmates run the asylum kind
right.
of a deal.
I can't do that.
And I'm not saying you have to be mean. I'm just saying that like you're the lawgiver.
Right.
And so you make the rules.
Plus they do like boundaries. I think people like that.
They need to have boundaries, mm-hmm. right? And you have to set rules and set boundaries. And it's like, we're not going to tolerate this. You know, it got to be where a first couple of kids, we might have done some corporal punishment, just a little bit of a light tap on the rear end or something like that. But really, what really worked best was like a firm, like my dad voice. Mm-hmm. If we were in a restaurant mm-hmm. and I would, a kid's acting up and I would give them the fair warning. The first one's like, hey, fair warning, dude. Tone it down. Just dial it down. Inside voice, whatever. We're in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Other people didn't pay to see this. You know, we've all used those dad lines, right?
Right.
And then they keep doing it, right? And then it's like, okay, y'all keep eating. Junior, you come with me.
Penalty box.
My son Jeffrey's going to be like, you talking about me on the air, Dad? It's like, yeah. So I take him outside. And by the time you get outside, because you kind of hold their arm, you do not like ever hurt your child, and
right.
everyone already knows that. Yeah. Never, 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 never. However, there is such a thing as a serious grasp. Mm-hmm. That you are guiding your child out of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Man, they at that point they go like, "Dad means business," you know. And you basically take your face, you over the top. You're a lot taller than they are. You bend down and you get like right in their face and say, I'm going to tell you this one time, and this is not going to end well. If you know, and they're like, okay, they will respect that.
Yep.
Right? You don't have to intimidate them. You don't have to scare them. You don't threaten them.
Yep.
You don't have to do any of the physical violence that, right? But at the same time, if you've done this in that firm way, they're going to recognize that yeah. firm authority. Mm-hmm. But once the inmates run the asylum, ooh.
It can go crazy.
And it's hard to get it back.
Oh, big time.
So they will do what you allow them to do. Don't allow them to do that. I tell this other story where I had a... I don't want to say who it is because the family might be listening. But I had, you know, an experience where, like, there's mom. The kid comes to mom and says, Mom, can I have a Coke? You know, and mom says, no. Can I have a Coke? No. Mom, can I have a Coke? No. Can I have a Coke? No. I really want a Coke. Mom, I want a Coke. No, no, no. And then finally, after 27 times, yes, if you'll just be quiet and go drink your Coke.
Oh, that's game over.
Yeah, what have you taught your child? 27 no's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that means number 28 is score, right. You know. You've got to, and which leads us
hold
to the next
line.
Thing is
hold the line.
Is consistency.
Yep.
Right? You've got to be consistent. If you say no, you stick with it. Yep. You don't change it, right? You set the rules, and you are consistent, right?
Yep.
Punishments, like if you're doing time out, if you're one of those parents, or if it's a corporal type deal, whatever, you know, whatever the punishment is, it's consistent. Mm-hmm. And do not make idle threats. And I don't want you to act on the threats either, but if you do that one more time, I'm taking every toy you have, and I'm putting it in the dumpster. Mm-hmm. We're going to drive together down to Target, go around the back, and we're going to throw every toy in. You're not going to do that.
Right.
Don't threaten them with things that you're not going to do. Like, you, if you do this, then that. And it's like, that then, whatever that punishment is, it better be reasonable, mm-hmm. right? And then be consistent about it. And I promise you, kids, you're teaching them. Mm-hmm. So if you have consistent, like, I know what's going to happen if I do this. If they know that, it may take them a few times, but once they get that, then you have now on to level number two or
right.
level number three. Mm-hmm. I'm on level number 57 right now
right.
with my kids. They're 18 and up, but you know what? We're right. still going. So the thing is, they consistency is the key, mm-hmm. right? And it's like babies do things, and when babies cry or whatever, they're not being bad. Babies can't be bad. So you teach them in gentle ways how to do things and whatever. But when they're getting older and they act out, they're not babies anymore. And so you've got to start implementing consistent strategies and penalties, punishments, and encouragements. And when you do that consistently, it changes the game
yeah.
on them, right? So then the next thing I want to talk about is another important thing. And it's that everything's done within the boundaries of love, like mm-hmm. even discipline. Now, when I say that, I'm not implying that sometimes you don't love your kids. Sometimes it's hard to love your kids, but mm-hmm. you know you always love your kids, mm-hmm. right? Well, I mean, I'm speaking for you, Tom.
Thank you. Yes, I do.
I just want to make sure that you were like, no, not me. I got one of them I don't love anymore. I'm sorry.
I just have a look that says I need to get clarity from Dorian.
No, I just want to.
He looks like he doesn't love his kids.
No, no. We all go through that, by the way.
Right.
There are spells. But the thing is, there's an old corporate expression, right? And it's like, it's called the corporate sandwich.
Oh, yeah. I know that sandwich.
Yeah. Now, it's called something else.
Yes.
But honestly, we're trying to keep it clean here.
Yeah.
But basically, like when Ralph is getting ready to get fired, mm-hmm. the boss calls Ralph in and says, Ralph, we've appreciated having you here at Acme Incorporated. Ralph, unfortunately, we're going to have to let you go. Ralph, you know, I'll be happy to write a letter of recommendation because you've been a great employee for whatever. You know, so the corporate sandwich is the not-so-good stuff.
First.
No, is in the middle.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. Right.
Right
so
right.
on either end of it
the good stuff
is
on
some
the,
nice.
On the ends, right.
That's right. It's, so it's like the Oreo cookie filling.
Right.
Right, so I like the mega stuff Oreos, by the way. That's a lot of extra stuff in there. But, you know, so the thing is, it's like...
But not if it's a corporate sandwich.
It's the other way around.
Like it, right.
It's inside out. It'd be like taking mega stuff and putting on either
exactly.
side of
exactly.
the cookie, right? And there's like this... I hate that cookie. Just give me the mega stuff. But anyway,
right.
the point of all that was really silly.
It was.
But the thing is, you do the parenting the same way. Like when they do something bad...
Right.
And they're going to. Kids do that. You know, they're exploring things, you know, and they're trying to figure out the boundaries. They're trying to figure all that stuff out. And sometimes, you know, and we are in a broken world, and there is sin, right, as the kids get older. You know, and so the thing is, when they do those things, you're going to have to correct them. You know, there's going to be a punishment. So it's like, you know, Junior, I love you so much. You know I love you, right? Well, you've done a terrible thing here, and we're going to have to deal with this. So what that means is I'm taking away the keys to the car, or I'm taking away your cell phone, or you're going to have to, like, your curfew is going to be 8 o'clock, and you have to be in the house at 8 o'clock, whatever. And then at the end say, like, but you know, I see such potential in you. I think you're going places, right? We just got to work on this thing we just did here. So you basically, you want to say, I love you. Here's your punishment for what you just did, and I love you, mm-hmm. right? And that's the parenting sandwich, mm-hmm. right? And so it's the same thing. Everything is within the boundaries of love. You are not just so angry with your kids that you make me so mad. Blah, blah, blah. You know, you yell and scream and slam doors and all that kind of stuff. That's not parenting, mm-hmm. right? You've always got to love your kids, and they need to hear it often. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't say I love you enough. That's something Bess and I do all the time, mm-hmm. with the kids and with each other. There are I love yous flying through the house. In fact, you can come over our house and you're going to hit square in the forehead with an I love you.
Awesome.
It's just part of what we do. And the thing is, I think it's important because we do love them and they need to constantly be reminded. Mm-hmm. Right? It's why we have birthdays every year.
Yeah.
You don't just get one birthday. You have one birthday, mm-hmm. but you get to remember it every single year and you get presents. You know, right? It's the same thing with this. I love you and I'm always going to love you and I'm going to have to correct you every once in a while, but I do love you, and I'm doing this because I love you.
Right.
Right. When they understand it like that, even though the punishment can be maybe harsh in their eyes, then they're gonna understand the reasoning for it, mm-hmm. and they're actually gonna try to do better.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing. You want them to grow up and be better and be good members of society.
Oh yeah.
So the next thing I want to talk about, we get this question a lot. So with 9 kids and you with 5. Is mass attendance, mm-hmm. like what they go like, I got to tell you, we can't go to mass. We go to separate masses. We go to, you know, we go to 6 different masses because we can't get all the kids together and wrangle them. And we just, it's a mess. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, they're always acting up. Mm-hmm. And so we have a different strategy. My wife and I do. And we started doing it. We kind of discovered it, you know, when they were little, cause you know, we did the thing where they would sit in the back of the church, mm-hmm. and you'd give them like a little bag of like Cheerios or Cheetos or something, Cheez-Its or something like that, and like a little one of those little soft books, mm-hmm. or like a little coloring book or something as they get older, and they would sit back there. So it's like, you know, church is kind of a cool thing to a little kid in the ways that you don't think it is. They're not going like, Father, may I go and worship God, you know, with you. In a very adult fashion and right. very quiet. They don't say that. Instead, they go into this big room that's quiet, and they realize that if they make a noise, it's like...
Yeah.
They echoes.
There's an echo in here.
So wow. Then you start hearing noises, right? And then they don't care. And also, they're sitting behind some church lady with this big hat, and they've got a bag of Cheetos, and they got a book, and they're bored to tears.
Right.
Right? And they don't really understand what's going on. So no wonder that it's hard to keep them. Right? So then you end up spending half your time out of mass. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not a fail-safe. It works a lot. It doesn't work every time. But it's actually worked pretty consistently for us. And that is, you sit up front. And when I tell people this, they go, their eyes get really big. And they go like, oh, no, 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 no. You don't know my kids. I am not sitting in the front. Are you kidding me? I said, you just have to trust it. Try it. Sit on the front or in the front few rows. Sit where your kids can see. And amazingly, then they start seeing this priest or this deacon and these people walking around, and they hear bells and they see somebody ring the bells. They see this guy holding up this chalice and right and they see like someone swinging this this incense around, and it's mm-hmm. fascinating. Mm-hmm. And they'll watch it, mm-hmm. right? And you know what? It's actually okay if you're sitting there and you're whispering to your child, that's Jesus, you know, that's Father Jones. Remember Father Jones? He came to have dinner, you know. And so, you know, you have these little conversations, very quiet and subtle. No one's going to go like, shh, you know. Now, there may be a church lady or two that will do that to you, but don't listen to them. But the point is that when you sit up close, you know, you are putting them like in the arena with the activity. And I think that's a good thing because kids they like to watch that stuff. Now, there's still gonna be problems, right? Mm-hmm. Every once in a while the kids will still act up. And I see some young families that have taken that advice and they sit up near the front where the kids can watch. And occasionally kids can't help it, they're gonna have to go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. you know, or something. You know, and so you're gonna have to take them out. So, you want to take a pew where, you know, you're sitting at an edge and you can grab the kid in a moment of desperation right before they're getting ready to throw up or whatever, you know, and you can get out if you need to and then get back in. So it's, you know, just have them sit up front.
Totally agree.
Because also, because a lot of times people do the things where they have the children's liturgy of the word where your kids go out. You know, that's kind of nice for you in one way in that, like, you don't have, like, the kids to deal with. But honestly, I think it's actually worse myself. This is my personal opinion. You might disagree. But I think it's worse when you send them out because it's going to be harder to get them to want to stay because where are they going? They're going to a place where they're getting to color and they're having snacks and they're finger painting and whatever.
They can talk.
Yeah, they can do anything. They're playing. It's playtime. It's supervised playtime. And people are talking to them about the faith, and I think that's nice. But the reality, you're taking them out of Mass, so you're not actually teaching them about Mass and about attendance at Mass and about how important and about what we're doing so that by the time, as our kids got older, they knew what to do. They knew when to stand, when to sit, when to kneel, what to say. And I think it was actually a positive. So we didn't, because we tried a couple times sending them out, but we didn't like it too much.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of that. And I think having your kids there, and Mass is for everybody. It's not just for adults. That's the other thing is, you go to the Children's Liturgy of the Word, and sometimes it can be like they're kind of dumbing down the language a lot. And so there's a question about like whether someone's reading a gospel that's – they're like reading a different gospel. Right? Technically speaking, there's a problem with not reading that actual gospel. Now, when they're really young, they don't have the obligation to go to Mass like we do. But once they get to be 7 years old, they're not supposed to be leaving and hearing a different gospel. They're at the age of reason. They're supposed to be hearing the gospel. So a lot of things to think about, and I'm very respectful. I don't judge, and we don't stop Mass at our parish and go like, hey, you bring the kids up front, or hey, you, what are you leaving for? You know, we don't ever do that. I'm not going to judge that, and parenting is parenting, and everyone's different, and I recognize that.
You're and so sharing tips.
These are personal little personal experiences and wisdom, and I think you've probably shared some of these things. Right, some of these experiences. Now, the kind of the last thing or next to last thing I want to talk about is we have to understand something. Families like have gotten rather complicated these days. We live in a broken world, and we're having more situations with broken families, a marriage, annulments, divorce, obviously, that leads to annulment. And then you have sort of like two or three like different Christmases, and there's just a lot of different nuances. And then you have kids that are stepkids that go through the you're not my real dad or my real mom, and it just a lot of difficulties, a lot of challenges. And we really have to we just have to chillax here, you know, and some of this, just take it and do the best we can in these situations. Always do things in love, and not try to, because we, that storybook family with the, you know, like boy meets girl, girl meets boy, they fall in love, they have, you know, 2.2 kids or whatever, and all this stuff, and everything works out great. It's just hard. We don't see it all the time. Right? So the reality is we have to understand that, you know, that divorce is a reality, and all these things. And one of the things I learned, like one of the things Bess and I did was we were doing the three Christmases, you know, and honestly, it got to be really hard until we decided 1 year, we're going to have one Christmas, and it's going to be at our house. And my divorced parents, if they wanted to, they could come. They're welcome to come. We're doing Christmas, and the kids are going to get up at the crack of dawn, and they're going to run down the stairs and, you know, open their presents. And we're going to do one Easter. We're going to do one Thanksgiving. And it's just because it's too many, right? It is just really hard to manage all that. So we started thinking, like, to try to build our family and build this one flesh, right, this domestic church, that's where it needs to be. The walls need to be fortified. Because the thing is, at the end of the day, one of the enemies to the one flesh can actually be your parents. Like, so we're not just talking about parenting when it comes to our own kids, but our parents. It can be difficult. You know, with divorced parents, you might have a dad say, well, you know your mother, you know, and your dad, your mom say, well, you know, your father, and they're mm-hmm. they're picking at each other, and they spend time talking about those things when they're with your family. It's like, I don't want that. Mm-mm. That's not good for the for their grandkids to hear. And it's like, it's really hard. That's why we're going to strengthen our domestic church. And so we have to be mindful that parents don't want, they sometimes they don't know their own boundaries, your parents, your older parents.
Right.
Right. Well, you know, I'm still your father and I'm still your mother. And the thing is, yeah, you are, and I'm grateful that you had me. But here's the thing: it's my turn with my kids. Thank you for your pearls of wisdom, but mm-hmm. please don't correct my child, or please don't do this, please don't do that. Oops, that's a phone. Never have your phone going during the radio show. Okay, I'm just gonna leave that in.
Are you?
What do you think?
Yeah.
It's like parenting.
Yeah,
it just happens.
It's kind of like we're a mass. And some kids being disruptive in
that's
the middle
right.
of mass.
You know what? I'm going to keep going.
Just roll with it. I like it. I like it.
So always want, you know, you love your parents. And you. Here's the other thing is you never stop being a parent.
Right.
You change how you parent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you are always going to be able to give sage advice. You're always going to be able to give a word of counsel. You need to build responsibility in your children as they grow older so that they can trust you enough to give them good advice later on and not criticize them, you know, but offer them counsel when they ask for it, you know, and gentle wisdom that's sent their way. They're going to love that.
Yeah.
So you're always a parent. You never stop being a parent. You just change how you parent. And some parents don't get that memo, and so they're harder to deal with. But all that said, the most important thing you can do is missionary parenting. You are parenting to get those kids to heaven.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Those kids are a gift from God, and He wants them
yeah.
in heaven with Him. And that's your job, primary job as parents. Mm-hmm. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.